here for public comments?
I think, I believe, we're the hearts, I spoke to the youth, Wade.
Yep, come on up.
Come on up.
Yep.
Where am I going?
Just right here.
Right here?
Yep.
We're gonna build a garage on the side of our property, and I was explaining to you that we're worried about maybe the easements on our home. I think we've actually rectified that, we're gonna go a little bit smaller. It's my wife, Michelle. I'm John, Art, we're the Arts. Get my manners. So really, we're just asking for a variance to go over, I think, on footage, and I think we wanna go a foot higher than what you guys allow. We're on like 9-foot walls and then 6'12" pitch, which would be like 15 feet for the garage. But the footage is, I think it's 750 is what the is allowed, I guess, and then we're doing a 24 by 48, so it's like a two-car garage, and then we're gonna have storage and an exercise room, so it's basically a side of a four-car garage, so it's like 1,300 feet somewhere around there. And we're almost on a whole acre, and like I said, we're gonna go down a little bit, so we're okay. I think as long as it's 10-foot easement on the sides, and I don't know if you guys wanna look at it.
Sure, have you already turned that into the office?
I did, yeah. No, this is the variant, I already turned in the permit to Matt.
Okay.
And he's got it, I've got a copy of it if you guys want.
Yeah, I haven't seen anything, so.
Okay.
If you lose track of that, like, we can walk there.
Maybe now it happens on the phone.
Sure.
Okay.
I think they're remaking a movie too. Who's the guy that talked to?
I don't know if I want them to.
I think it's a strong one, I think it's a common thing for the future, is that.
Oh, really?
Something.
I can be doing it.
Yeah.
Actually, went out to San Diego and the restaurant, they did a couple things there, and went there, and.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah, oh, no, it's a great one.
Okay, so Mark, correct me if I'm wrong here. Mark is our village attorney.
Hi, hello.
All this needs to go to the office, the village office, and give it to Brandy, and then she'll scan everything in, send it to me, and we'll send it over to the attorney. There is a small process with it. There's gotta be notices sent out within 250 feet, and then an ad run in the paper for 15 days, and then we come back and talk about it collectively, and then give our recommendations to the board. The board will vote on granting the variance or not granting the variance.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
before you turn in,
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, when would you want to start? I know it's a process.
Right, yeah. Well, it is getting late, the sooner the better, so right. As soon as we can get it, so.
Yeah, as soon as you get it to Brandy, and then she gets it to me, and then we'll forward it tomorrow. Probably 16.
They have the permit, you're talking about the battle, so.
For the variance.
Okay, the variance comes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's probably helpful to understand how it works. So we've got a set of rules, and then you, and you're proposing a structure that will violate the rules.
Right.
So what happens is you submit your application, the building inspector has to turn it down,
okay.
And then you're appealing that, saying, hey, give me special treatment and relax the rules as it relates to this, let me do this. So for that to happen, we have to give notice to everybody in your neighborhood and to the whole town in order to give them a chance to come in and say, no, these folks shouldn't get special treatment, here's why. It'll have a negative impact on us. Now, I appreciate that what you're doing may not seem like it would have a big negative impact, but whether you have a huge impact or a little impact, the same rules are going to apply to you. So the law says we can't just send out the notice tonight and do this tomorrow night, because that wouldn't be fair to the neighbors. So the notice has to be served at least 15, where the newspaper has a little ad that gets put in at least 15 days before the meeting, and not more than 30 days before the meeting. And there are actually going to be two different hearings, one for this group and one for the board, we'll tie all those together and just do one set of notices for all of them. So for your purposes, we do take care of it all. So I'll turn to you. No, we send the notes to all the neighbors.
Okay.
For your purposes, you're looking at realistically 3 to 6 week turnaround time. So all these folks volunteer to show up, so we've got to make sure they show up. And then it also has to go in front of the board, and the board meets twice a month, and then we have to time it with the notices. So I'm not trying to burst any bubbles, just trying to give you realistic expectations of how the process works.
Did Matt give you a building permit for it?
No, not yet. When I was speaking to him, he said he didn't think it was going to be a problem. Looking at the specs of it, he didn't think it was going to be a problem.
Okay.
But who knows?
I do know that Brandy will be here at just a little bit before 6:30. If you wanted to come back up here then and give that to her and talk to her then, or you can wait till in the morning and go and see her at the office tomorrow morning.
Is she the secretary there?
Yes, she's the clerk for the large board.
Okay.
They start at 6:30, and she usually gets here about 6:20.
So if I came back, the sooner I get it to her, I'm guessing the better.
Right.
The sooner the process starts.
If you come back at 6:30, they have the same thing, the public comments, at the very start of their meeting, and you can come up and do it then.
Can I just hand her? I need to talk to her again. Right.
Yeah, she'll be here.
She'll
I mean,
be
you can hand that.
Okay,
yeah, you can hand that to her and go from there.
Okay, thank you. All right, okay, thank you. You're gonna, oh, you got that. Yep, she's got it. Thank you. All right, all right, zoning ordinance with MSA. I need like maybe 15 minutes at the end of for him. Okay, so that's good. Let's start with the bigger document. Does everybody have current zoning ordinance or no?
Yes.
Could you go to the table of contents for current and then the table of contents for this? I just want to quickly go through kind of where we're at with reshuffling the information. So the stick document that's bound is articles, your new articles 1 through 19. So that's going through general provisions through landscaping and screening. So that leaves us like 4 articles left, but I want to go through kind of what we've done so far. So article 1, general provisions. For the most part, all the sections are the same. There's some modifications that are in there, and those are included in this document. I'm not going to go through those, but this is more a big picture of what's been going on. Article 2 definitions, laid out the same. Some definitions added and modified. We went over that last meeting. Article 3, use regulations. So this is now districts, uses, and boundaries. So sections 3.1 2, 3, 4, 5, are for the most part, or 3.1 through 3.4 are very similar. There's modifications in there. 3.5 is different. So that's general guidelines for lots and boundaries. Now, uses permitted by right, provisional uses, and special uses, that's now 3.6. So 3.5 is some information that was in Article 4 development standards. So Article 4 development standards we've gotten rid of. And so most of the information got put into the individual districts, but there was some language included in there that needed to go somewhere. It made sense for like 4.2 lot requirements. It made sense to me to put that into this section, this new section, general guidelines for lots and boundaries. So these are kind of some guidelines that aren't specific to individual districts, but makes sense for this kind of general article. And then projections and encroachments in yards went in there, standards for accessory structures, visibility, triangle setback, front yard added setback, and then special yard requirement for certain records that all run into that article, and that stuff was all pulled out of the development standards article. So everything else then that was in that development standards was yard setbacks, floor area ratio, open space ratio, all those things that used to be, you know, all, for all the individual districts was all in that article, now is in the individual district articles for like R1, R2. So that's kind of how I divvied up that Article 4. And then Article 5, provision of special uses, that is now Article 4. And we've gone through some edits of that, and those are all included in this document. So you can take time to look through that and make sure that kind of, actually, I don't think that does have all of the modifications. But we can go back to that. So then Articles 5 through 16 are all of the individual districts. And then their purpose, their use regulations, their development performance standards. So that's always going to be whatever section 0.1.3. So those are all the stuff that was in Article 4 development standards before. That's now gone into the individual districts. And then section whatever 0.1.4, provisional and special use development performance standards. Those are specific development standards for provisional and special uses that are allowed in those districts. And again, those were all in development standards, either in development standards or provisional and special use article. And those would be pulled out and put into their individual districts. So Article 6, previously planned unit developments, is now Article 16, since we added all those individual districts in between. And then after that, everything's plus 10, so Article 7 is 17, parking, Article 8 is 18 signs, and then 9 is 19 landscaping and screening. And everything but Article 18, signs, has the tracking on in this bound document. The tracking for signs is separate with this document. So prior to the next meeting, I'd like you to go through this thicker document and make sure it kind of fits with everything we've gone over previously. And then for this meeting, I want to go over Article 18, the new Article 18 signs, and then we'll have left the last five, which is kind of general provisions and how to handle review and site plan, or review and nonconformities. So we'll talk about that quickly after we get through signs. Any questions on that? This will be good. It really shows how much we've done, where we're at, where everything was kind of disjointed and apart. I want to get everything together. All right, so signs. Went through the sign article, looked at City of Champaign's zoning ordinance, kind of some of the amendments and changes they've made over the years. So the general section, I took out paragraph C. I took that out because it basically says the same thing in the highlighted part in Article A. I didn't see it necessary to have that separately calling out that we're going to prevent imminent danger to the health or safety of the public when we say that up top. New paragraph C added some language that's in the City of Champaign's ordinance. Setting and calling out commercial and non-commercial nature of signage. Definitions. They were already all duplicated, so all those were deleted, and it's just been, just like we've done in the other articles, it's just in the definitions article now. All right, so 18.2, the biggest difference is going to be outdoor advertising sign structures, and because of the digital the ability for those to become digital. There need to be some changes put in that Champaign has done as well. So I added a specific paragraph on that, and then something about permit applications for outdoor advertising sign structures that it shall, and this is something I don't know. So this is paragraph D. Champaign is requiring that a site plan prepared by a licensed surveyor and drawn to scale be submitted for permit applications for those outdoor advertising sign structures. So those are your big billboards. And I think they're doing that because, again, digital billboards are becoming very popular, and really, I think communities want to have a little more control over those. So they want to make sure that there's not a lot with close to each other. So they want to see all the other signage, all other outdoor advertising signage, buildings, and other commercial freestanding signs within 400 feet. This seems pretty excessive to me, but I wanted to put it in here. See if you wanted it in. Especially the needing a site plan prepared by a licensed surveyor and drawn to scale for a sign.
I would think we could take that out when you ask that. How was it written before?
It was just a paragraph C, permit required. So it wasn't any difference permit for the general sign and the outdoor advertising sign structure. They were all the same. So the question is, do you want something more submitted for outdoor for billboards?
We have something in place that they're working.
I agree. I think we should have something in place, but as far as like the site plan prepared by a licensed surveyor, I mean, is that really, that's a pretty big expense to have that.
Yeah.
I mean, not on the village, but on the owner.
But is it common practice and we just don't realize? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a structure though, too.
It's not.
I don't
know.
I don't know if indicator we can require a licensed surveyor this morning.
Okay.
We had some more stringent requirements for billboards, but. I think just including the site plan.
But not necessarily a licensed surveyor.
Yes. That's what I work. So I'll just take out prepared by a licensed surveyor, drawn to scale. I think the main thing you want is all the stuff after at a minimum. So location of the footprint, the proposed structure, and the location of the footprinting buildings, commercial freestanding signs within 400 feet of the proposed footprint. And change. Following signs need not be included in any site plan.
And those signs like that too, like billboards, do they have to be, is there something there like anything? Those are big structures.
Right.
Is there anything in there to basically saying it has to be prepared by a licensed or, you know, an engineer or an architect or something? that, you know, don't anybody go out there and throw a couple poles in the ground and slap a something up there and it falls over on 45 or something.
I think that goes back to the permit required. That's where
right.
That would fall in.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think you need to specifically call it out. What about the color photographs? I think the site plan is showing everything around with this enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Okay. Cool. All right, so 18.2.3, just a little thing that I added. Making sure that both temporary and permanent signs are part of that paragraph. 18.2.4 added flags, because we do have a definition for flags as signage, so I added that in there. Pursuant to a permit to it unless and only to the extent expressly allowed in this article. So this is saying all these types of signs are prohibited unless allowed in this article. So again, the moving parts, this is new verbiage that pulled from Champaign. So just kind of updating it with times for electronic signs and billboards, prohibiting them in residential zoning districts, except for paragraph D, which is outdoor stadiums and indoor arenas, the seating capacity of 2,000 or greater. Which, so that's going to happen, but. Does the high school football, do they have that one?
They do
now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just kind of general language as far as like changing displays. Also added something Champaign didn't have about the director of MECAD, the designee will have the authority to override for digital billboards, okay. Broadcasting. We don't have any now, but if you got one.
Mm-hmm.
All right, jumping down to special event signs. So you had previously that special event signs shall be no larger than 50 square feet in area. Specifically called out 50 square feet for banners and 4 square feet for yard signs. And then paragraph D. So you didn't have anything as far as the location of special event signs. And so I added in here, banners may be placed over public right of way or fixed to railroad street overpasses which are above public right of way. Yard signs may be located in the right of way only on major entryways and corridors, including the following streets. So I didn't know if you want to specifically call out streets that these would be allowed. And we could also take that out. We don't have to allow them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. personally, I think it'd probably be better not to allow them in the right ways. Just to have them in the private property. So three, which will become two.
One second. Paragraph E, searchlights. Does being the proximity of the airport to VR, does Savoy have anything in theirs?
I don't think so. And I checked, you're outside the zone for airport. For certain things.
What's that?
You don't see those very often anymore. You see them quite often.
Really?
So paragraph four, which will become three. Not allowing signs to be affixed to public structures, village pole street lights, or be located within the visibility triangle setbacks. That paragraph was in before, I just didn't change. It was a separate section, or a separate, it was 18.3.1 previously, I just made it just a subparagraph. So, let's see, 0.3.1, the structural or directional sign, I just changed A, B, C, D to a table. Information didn't change at all.
I like tables.
Yeah. That's the same for the real estate signs, made that table. Didn't change any of this sizing for any of that stuff. Fit with what Champion had in there is also. Anything else on that? So non-business signs, and signs erected by the city or its agents in the public right-of-way is included under non-business sign, obviously doesn't require a permit. Pulled out specific where it said commercial building, because I think that's getting too close to the actual use of the sign. So just generally street address of the building. And again, took out business and paragraph E. Political election signs. Put that the location, size, and number shall be in accordance with federal, state, and county laws. That was already in there, but specifically called out the Illinois Campaign Sign Regulation Act. And then paragraph C, that act has a maximum of 6 square feet for political signs, so changed 8 to 6. It's 3 by 2 is the max that it can be.
Do we need to even have C if it's already called out in that act?
You might as well keep it in there, so just so they know. They don't already. And then D and E. That's not allowed by the Campaign Sign Regulation Act. You can no longer do that. Administration enforcement, no changes. Everything looked good. 18.5.1, just changed, went from Article 4, which is your old development standards. I just put the standards in the underlying zoning district. and then all of the everything within the individual zoning districts. I didn't see the need to change any of that. And then I looked at the Illinois Realtor Association signage regulation. I just didn't see anything that needed to be added.
Okay.
Better information. Anything else with signs? Good. All right, so we are, then what we got left is supplementary regulations, nonconformities, admin and enforcement, zoning board of appeals, which needs to become planning and zoning board, and then amendments and hearings. So just kind of all of that administrative type of things. So I think we'll be able to cover all of those at the next meeting and fix us all the way through.
You know, what's the next step once we get all the way through that? Just submitting everything to the board and having them approve it?
Yeah, and we would want to submit everything first to the planning and zoning board.
Okay.
To get their recommendation for approval, and you know, then go from there to the board.
Okay. So you think two more meetings with you and then we can?
Yep.
Yes. I motion to continue the zoning ordinance review with MSA to our next meeting.
On?
Well, I'll do that.
Okay.
Second. Thank you. Okay. Item.
Discuss with the attorney the bylaws for planning and zoning. Hi, Mark.
Hello.
So I had mentioned last meeting about a set of bylaws for the zoning and planning board. And the reason why I brought that up is there's a couple people on the zoning board that are inactive, and we can't seem to move forward with getting them removed in any way, and kind of and putting two other people in there. That'll be active. And I know some other boards have bylaws that state if you're not there for X amount of consecutive meetings, you can have to do a vote to have them removed from the board and then put someone else in. Is that something we can set in place, or with the other municipalities that you work with, what have you seen?
Well, you can't do anything with an elected official or with an appointed official. You probably could. It would be something that the Board of Trustees would have to vote on to implement. What you can do is adopt rules to run your meeting. That's pretty much it.
So what does that look like as far as?
But you can make a request or propose something to the board, and I'm sure the board would be receptive to.
We just write that ordinance up.
So on something like that, on the two people that aren't active, if we do a vote here and then recommend to the village board, I mean, how does that work?
I don't know, and I'll find out and I'll give you a correct response.
Okay.
My guess is that you would not be able to is this our current ordinance?
Yeah.
Planning Authority has pause in a public hearing. So the appointing authority is the Board of Trustees. So that's who put you on, that's who can take you off. This is saying that the board can remove somebody for cause and after a public hearing.
Where at in the book are you looking at?
I'm on 13-1.
I at the bottom.
So probably what I would suggest is, ideally, the chair could approach them and say, hey, if you can't make it, can you just send us in a letter saying you're resigning? If that doesn't work, then maybe we could have someone from the board do the same thing. And then the last resort is that we can just go ahead and put on the board agenda, remove a lot of number, and we can treat it like a hearing. But I sure hate to have, you know, it doesn't seem like that's a nice way to do it, but that's
technically what we're doing. Send me a note to remind me, and we'll have Brandy write a letter on Friday.
I'll email you the same name, copy Brandy.
Yeah, and ask them to resign.
Okay.
You could even ghostwrite him a letter to close with it, just to put
it. Yeah, that's what I was kind of thinking about doing, just kind of putting it in there. We can put a letter in there with postage on it so they can mail it back.
Yeah, I think that's pretty important. So I don't think we need to, you as a board don't need to do anything about it. It's already in your existing ordinance. And in the new ordinance that they're looking at, you've got something that's kind of similar.
I haven't gotten to that article yet, but.
But make sure you have.
Yeah. Okay. I can.
That way you're having me reinvent the wheel.
Right.
It'll already be inside of that.
Okay.
So you're good with keeping that kind of same language.
It's a little easier and stronger.
If you want something specific about.
Exactly.
I think that it wouldn't hurt to have some language that talks about missing four consecutive meetings would be a basis for termination by vote of the Board of Trustees.
That's not great.
But I would think you're meeting a lot right now, but in the future, you won't be meeting that often.
Right.
I would think you'll meet two or three times a year. So four seems like it's a lot of meetings to miss now. Well, it's going to be a lot more later. I mean, if you're missing a year and a half of meetings. But I think you still want to be on the generous side. We could probably mitigate it where, I don't want to overly think it, but you know, if you've got somebody who's sick and you know that they're gone for an extended stay and they make a request and then you guys vote to approve that request or something like that, or we could have some sort of extra layer in there that would, you know, take into account someone's unique circumstances.
Since we have notification,
see any reason for public hearing to be in there?
Yeah, they're going to be entitled to some due process. You know, if somebody doesn't want to get off, they have a constitutional right to be on. That means we have to give them a hearing to be able to let them have their say before the final decision is made.
Well, no, we have one person that's interested, but we don't have a spot for them. So, and we have two that are inactive. One of them's already said, no, I can't do it, I want off. And I explained to him we just need a letter of resignation. And I haven't seen anything. And I've reached out to him a couple times and have no contact with him.
That's why we'll make it easy.
Yeah, I think good. Rob's idea makes it turnkey. Yeah. And, you know, that would have success, is my guess. And if it doesn't, we've got a backup.
Okay. Excellent. Anything else? Any new business?
Motion to continue on October, our next meeting on October 10th at 6 p.m.
Second.
What time?
6.
Is that a 4?
That's a Thursday.
Okay.
The reason why is Josie Donovan's schedule has changed, and she wanted to be part of this. So it was kind of a temporary thing for her. But that way, that's on a Thursday instead of a Tuesday. And that would also give us more than, you know, an hour and 15 if we needed it for that last section.
Okay. Sure. We should have been a local on them. second that.
Okay.
We should roll call.
Okay. So, roll call for the next meeting, October 10th at 6 p.m. Rich Cunnington?
Yes.
Holly Laura?
Yes.
Jamie Snodgrass?
Yes.
Nate Tate?
Yes.
Me? Yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. All right.